Talking to somebody the other day, and they were considering buying a property and building a business investment on it. And I gave warning about a likely economic crash. I said my counsel was based on a monetary bubble that we have been experiencing since the last big manipulated financial crash back in 2008. How many remember that when the stock market crashed? The person responded with an interesting phrase. He said that his wife had recently told him that a common phrase in the Bible, one of the most common phrases in the Bible, was the phrase, "Fear not, fear not." And while the Bible does say that the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, it also does say over and over again, "Fear not. Fear not." And as I think about that phrase this morning, I can't help but thinking about the great work of God here in Scranton, Pennsylvania, here in northeastern PA, here in Scranton Revival Baptist Church. This is a work God called me to, and many times I've had to not fear because of God's encouragement. So I have embraced the theme for the church to which God calls me to, and our theme for this church is building lives on solid foundation. Building lives on solid foundations. So with that in mind, this morning I'm asking you to turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 2, and I want to look at verses 17 and 18 this morning. And I'm preaching a message from the text 17 and 18, and the name of it is Reasons for You to Build. Reasons for You to Build. And I'd like to look at these verses that we read and give three reasons why this morning you should build lives on solid foundations. Or why you should build your life on a solid foundation this morning. Why you should be a builder this morning. Number one, you should build because of your problems. You should build because of your problems. Here's what it says in verse 17. The first part, it said, "Then said I," speaking of Nehemiah, "then said I unto them," the people that were with him, "ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." You see, he is saying to them, you need to build. We need to build. And he's saying that we need to build because of the problems that we see all around us, the distress that we're in. Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. You see, Nehemiah could praise the Lord. I'm sure he could thank the Lord for certain things. But that did not make him oblivious to the distress that they were in, the things that the people of God lacked. And while we should praise God and while we should thank God, we also need to see the problems that we have. We also need to face the problems that we have and be realistic about that and not just ignore those problems. And so you have to understand, about 90 years before Nehemiah, 52,000 Jewish people about returned from a 70-year fearful captivity in the country of Babylon. And they returned with their governor Zerubbabel and with their high priest Joshua, and they built a temple, a modest temple for God. That was an accomplishment. About 12 years before this return under Zerubbabel, there was a priest named Ezra, and he led some more of the God's people to come back, and he began to strengthen them with preaching. He began to strengthen them with teaching. He began to strengthen the work of the temple with God's word among God's people, and he strengthened the spiritual lives of the people, you see, that had come back and rebuilt the temple, and now he was strengthening the work and worship of that temple of God. That was about 12 years before Nehemiah. But in spite of these developments, and these were things that the hand of God had done, and they could rejoice in those things, and perhaps you can rejoice in certain things that God has done in your life. In spite of that, there were some major problems. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down. I can relate it to the southern border of the United States. It's broken down. People coming in, and we're in a mess in this country. And the walls were broken down, and there was no defense, and by the way, no separation. And I can relate that to the church today. The church is acting like the world. Talking like the world, walking like the world, dressing like the world, acting like the world. That's not God's plan for the born-again believers. And the walls are walls of separation. We're going to be preaching on that tonight. We're doing a series on separation, standards, and all of that in our series called Words for the Birds. But I want to say that was a big problem. And then the houses in Jerusalem were uninhabited. They were broken down. They were overgrown with weeds. They were a mess. I remember when we got our house years ago, that God gave us the house. It had weeds everywhere. It was overgrown, but what a property that was, and what a deal we got on it. And God gave that to us. But there needed to be work done in our house. And there needed to be work done on this land and this city that was still in a lot of disrepair. I think of this building that we've got. Thank God for this building. And a lot of work has been done on this building. A lot of progress has been made on this building. For one thing, we converted it from a Presbyterian sprinkle place to a Baptist baptistry. Amen. We got rid of the pipe organ and set up baptistry rooms. It got converted from a Presbyterian to an independent fundamental Baptist church.
Amen.
And we got air conditioning. Praise the Lord. I love it in the summer. It's good. But we need work to be done on the front porch up there. I think we need about 5,000 or something like that. Brother Joe told me for that. And we have other goals that we need to do. And you know what? Any work that's worthwhile is going forward, right? It's making progress. I see this city, and thank God for the people that have been saved, but there are a lot of people that need to get saved. Amen. Thank God for this building that there are people all over here this morning. But I would to God it was filled so nobody could sit down in here. And that we needed a second service. I'm just saying, while I thank God for what He has done, I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied that we've done all that God wants us to do. There's more of the promised land to be conquered. There's more that we need to do, beloved. And I'm saying this is a reason for you and I to build lives on solid foundation. And the reason is the distresses that we see around us, the needs we see around us, the problems we see around us, that people are dying and going to a real place called hell. And America has many problems. We still have needs in the church. And they had the broken walls there. They had the city in disrepair. God's people, by the way, were an object of disgrace in the presence of the neighboring people. And that was continuing because of the lack of repairs. And that stirred Nehemiah up. He was stirred up. By the way, Nehemiah had a cushy job. He was a child of God. He was not living with God's people. He was living in Persia, in the capital, in the place where the king of Persia lived. And he was like the chief of staff for the president, so to speak. And he had a cushy job. He was the king's cupbearer. And Nehemiah was enjoying his job, but his brother Hanani came to him and told him about the walls being broken down, told him about the gates, and told him about the houses in disrepair, and told him about the disgrace of God's people. And the Bible said he didn't even want to eat. He just was so in distress. He was so sad that the king couldn't believe it because he'd never seen him sad before. He was always happy, but he was sad. You know what? There's a time for you to get sad. I remember God led me to go to West Palm Beach, Florida, after being here for 7 years with the first pastor of this church. I remember those days. And I remember going to West Palm Beach, Florida. I got in a church there called Calvary Baptist Church. They hired me in a Christian school to teach in that school full time. They gave me good pay, good job. And then they asked me to be the youth pastor. So I was the youth pastor for that year and worked with the young people. And I was down in West Palm Beach, Florida. Let me tell you, we were living in an apartment. We didn't have to pay rent. It was free. I got to manage those apartments. And in January, February, walk out our front door and there was a lime tree there and a lemon tree there, right? And we'd make limeade and lemonade in January. And it was just, I kind of liked the climate, amen? I kind of liked it. My father-in-law owned those apartments and he gave us rent free. I was never richer in my life. I had very few bills to pay. It was like a blessing. We had two kids at the time, right? Two. And we were there. And I remember going to church, and after church, you know, we'd be there in November, December, about 70, 75 degrees. We'd go to my mother-in-law's and father-in-law's, and they had a pool out behind their house. Beyond that, they had a canal, and that canal went out to a lake, and that lake went out to the Intercoastal Waterway and out to the ocean. They had an island called Peanut Island. They'd go out there. They'd let us get in a boat. We could ride around the boat. We'd go get some Bud's chicken, and I had a pretty cushy life. And I remember, we were there for about a year, just over a year. And I remember the pastor of this church wrote me and said, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C., I believe. And I believe God's going to do something in Scranton, and we have need. So we had about 24 people in the church. Then the church had been through some troubles and trials and difficulties in Scranton. And it was a challenge, but I remember being burdened. I cannot be happy in West Palm Beach. I cannot be happy with the cushy life I had. I was burdened for Scranton and the work of God in Scranton. It was in my heart. I understand what Nehemiah felt. And I remember telling my wife about it. We were out in the boat, cruising around She was laying back in the boat. I said, I got something to tell you. I believe God's leading me back to Scranton. What? No, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. In her heart, she may have done that, but she seemed to be fairly calm. And she just went, are you sure? Are you sure? And I was sure, and we packed up and wound up going here just before the winter hit, Brother Joe, just before the winter hit in 1978. And there were needs. And I could see we were in some distress. The church had been through persecution, even from the college that we went through. We had been persecuted. Back in those days, we were persecuted because we had people from different races and we were all together in the church. And believe it or not, our college was prejudiced. They didn't want to have that kind of a work. And they didn't like our city work back then. Back in those days. But nevertheless, we knew the Lord was doing something. And we said, we're going to build. We're going to build because of our problems. And we want to make progress. And we want to solve the problem. You say, Pastor, why could you solve the problems? Because I have the problem solver. I was going to say I'm married to the problem solver. That's my wife. But I said married to the problem solver, not the problem. Get it right. Help them. But, you know, Jesus is the problem solver. And Nehemiah, because of that, he said, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waits, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And by the way, I see our country, it's going to hell in a handbasket. And our country's in a problem. And here the guy that God raised up to be the president was stolen from him last time. And this time they tried to kill him. You don't believe they tried to kill him? Well, I got some land for you in Florida, swamp land to sell you. Come on. Come on. And what can we do? You can pray, amen. And you can build and do God's work. and give God a reason to bless you. Give God a reason to bless your country. And you know what? Sometimes I see spiders and Lily, do you like spiders? I'm sure you love spiders. And you see spiders and they, you know what spiders do? They're always building spider webs. And I got to admit to you, I do kind of like spiders when they're building their webs. I do this sometime. I watch them build their webs and watch them catch bugs in their webs. I say, yeah, you got one. Amen. Yeah, cheer them on, right, Mickey? Amen. Cheer them on. He got that bug. You know, I just don't want to kill that spider. But sometimes, you know, you got to get rid of that spider web. And you rip that thing down. You just don't like that spider web. And you know what happens. What happens right away when you do that? Joe, what is that? They go right back out and redo it again. Then you, let's say you tear it up again. They redo it again. They'll do it again. They're always building something. Now, I know you got a whole sermon on spiders, but we won't preach that today. But later. But anyway, they're always rebuilding their spider webs, right? And A, it says go to the ant. I'm going to say this morning, go to the spider, thou sluggard. And when you get your work torn down, and a lot of times we're doing something for God and the devil comes and tears it down. We're building into somebody's life and the enemy tears it down. Keep on building. Build and build and build and build. Outbuild your problems. Don't ever quit. You know what? Jesus was a builder. He was a carpenter. Amen? And Jesus wants you and I to keep on building. And so Nehemiah said, you see the distress we're in. The gates are burned with fire. He said, let's do some building. And that's what you and I need to do. And so we're going to build something for God. Now I remember we've been running buses. We've been running three buses, and we pick up people from all the way from Wilkes-Barre to Carbondale. And we're trying to reach out all the way to Tunkhannock to Moscow. And we want to reach our, and we've got buses. And we had a real good blessing. You know what it was? $110 per bus per service. That's all we had to pay, $110 per bus per service. That included maintenance, gas, everything. That was a steal, amen. But in one day, we were told it's going to be $260 now per bus per service. We had three buses, so you do the math, that's close to $900 per Sunday per Sunday. That's not counting the van and the gas in the van. Now, we do vacation Bible school. And we have vacation Bible school. I figured, you know, let's run two buses for a vacation Bible school. Well, that's two times 260. That's close to $600 for just one night. And then there's the second night. And then there's the third night. So you're up to about $1,800 in addition to Sunday just for vacation Bible school. And you know what? That's a problem. Amen. How many know money's a problem? Amen. It's a problem. But you know what? We need to build because of our problems. And I determined, you know what? This vacation Bible school is worth the investment. These lives are worth the investment. And thank God, I had a couple come up to me. And they said just the other day, Pastor, here's $260 for one of two buses for the first night of vacation Bible school. I had another individual come up to me and said, Pastor, here's $184 toward a 262nd bus, and we're getting closer to funding the first night of vacation Bible school. And we just handed out a clipboard. I thought we'd have a clipboard full, but I only saw two names, my name and somebody else on there. I'm saying, why don't we build? Why don't we invest? We say, well, we're living in Biden's economy. What are you doing on Biden's economy? You should be on God's economy. You say, how do I get on God's economy? Give your tithes and offerings to the Lord. Invest in His work. Put Him first. And He will bless you. I have seen it over and over again. God says it. He said, put me to the test. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. that you might not have room enough to receive it. But see, we want to hoard to ourselves. And you know how you build, friends? Can I tell you how you build? You build with giving your time. That's number one, your time. Your time. Number two, you build by giving your treasures or your money. And number three, you build by using whatever talents God has given you and spiritual gift to serve God with it. And so I'm just saying this morning, here's the first reason for you to build. Problems. You're going to experience them. But you know the problem solver. Amen. And so build, invest in God's work. And will our distress and our stress of kids that need to be saved move you to build by helping in the Vacation Bible School, by helping to build the Sunday School? And by the way, we have a Christian school where we have opportunity to have scholarship and to help to build lives upon solid foundations. And that is so worthwhile. And how about you? You should build because of your problems. You should build. We can solve problems if we won't just curse the darkness, but light a candle and work with God's man to build into God's work. That's number one. Number two, you should build not only because of your problems, but listen to me. Number two, build also, you should build because of your preacher's preaching. You say your preacher's preaching. Yeah. Notice what it says here in chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Notice Nehemiah, who was the governor, who was the leader, that he proclaimed, "Come, let us build." In other words, he was preaching to them about what they should do. I believe in preaching. I thank God for choirs and cantatas and Christian movies and all the rest, but nothing will replace the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We need the old-time preaching from the old-time Bible, my friend. That's what America needs. And you need it in your life. And you need to have that as a helper for you to be able to build your life, to be able to build your marriage, to be able to build your family, to be able to build your church and even our country on the right solid foundation. And that's what Nehemiah says. And so the Bible always says the first thing that when you're going to build, not only to preach, but to first of all practice what you preach. Amen? It says to do and to teach. If we're going to have people preach at our children's church downstairs, and we do, if we're going to have people teach in our Sunday school, first of all, they have to do what the Bible says. Amen? They have to. If they don't do what the Bible says, if they're living in sin and living like the devil, and then they say, "Oh, here's the Word of God," that's just hypocrisy. That's going to bring mockery. We need the preachers and the teachers to have standards based in the Word of God. That's what we've been talking about Sunday night. And we need to do these things. You know, thank God for our church that we're not just a religious lectureship. We're a soul winning generalship. We got people going out. We had 17 people went out to tell people about Jesus Christ Thursday night. We had a lot of people go out yesterday. I know I had a worker went out with me, and we went out helping on Matt's route. Matt had a worker with him, and I was helping on Matt's route. And it started to rain, and we were soaked. And I left the windows open, and the car was soaked, and we were squishing on the seat. And we just embraced it. We just said, "Let's get in there and let's just do this." And between my partner and I, we led five people to pray to receive Christ. And inviting people out. Tom They don't always come, do they, Tom? But hey, we're inviting them anyway, amen? And Tom's out there, he's soul winning. And I'm saying to you, we need to not just have preachers say, here, you do it, but have preachers that can say, like Nehemiah, let us build. In other words, preachers that are doing it. You got too many preachers sitting back and just lecturing people about the Bible and how great the book is, and people sitting around like little babies sucking their thumb and taking in the Bible, but not practicing the Bible. We need that. I think of the nation of Israel. They've always had, unlike the Western cultures, they have generals where Brother Jose, the general, sits back in an ivory tower and plans the battle and sends the 18, 19-year-old cannon fodder soldiers out there to get killed while the general stays back and tells them where to go. Not in Israel. The general goes out in the front. He leads from the front. And he said, let's go. That's why King David said, I'm going to go. And they had to stop him and say, no, you're worth 1,000 of them because of who you are. We can't lose you. But I like Donald Trump. When they shot at him, he was like this. His head was like this. The guy put the scope right on his head. Guy was 130 yards away. That's a cake shot. That's a layup. And they let him do that. Don't believe any of their hogwash. They let him do that. And he had that scope on him. The only thing that saved him, he never does this, very rarely. He had a big a screen up there with something on the screen about Biden's economy. And he turned his head like that to look at the screen. When he turned his head, the shot was already in the ear, just in the ear, and hit him in the ear. Grazed his head. Blood came out of his ear. Put his thumb on his ear, down on his foot, on his right foot, right ear. Just like the Bible says, when they anoint the priest for office, they have to put blood on the ear and on the foot. And what he did was like an anointing without realizing. And he got up and he went, fight, fight, fight. Don't surrender. That's leading from the front. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know where Kamala was, but I know it's not leading from the front.
Right. Yeah.
And the last I checked out, you may not like this, but men are supposed to be. Men are supposed to be the commander in chief.
Yeah. Right.
Okay? That's what I believe. And I'm just saying to you that you should build because of your preachers preaching. You should build because of your problems. And the Bible says this about preaching. I like this. It says to the church in the book of Revelation, in fact, seven churches, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2, 1 and 7. Now, God says that the preacher for the church, the local church, is the angel of the church. Did anybody know that I'm an angel for you this morning? You're laughing. But you know what an angel is? It's a messenger. That's what the word angelos means, the Greek word angelos. Alpha, gamma, epsilon, lambda, omicron, sigma. Angelos, what does that mean? That means messenger. What's messenger? It's the one the Lord Jesus Christ entrusts the message of the Word of God to, that he might deliver that message. Do you know what? If you're going to build for God, you need to be in your church under your angel listening to the message for you. That's why the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the what? Spirit saith to the churches. The Holy Spirit of God has a message for you this morning. And the message is that you should have reasons to build. And if you're not here in church and you're not listening with your ears to the message of the Spirit of God, to the man of God, you're not going to be able to build like you should. There are too many people that are absent without leave from the local church. They're not showing up and they have every kind of excuse. I'm so thankful when they tried to, the devil and the false people in the government tried to shut us down with COVID, that God kept the doors open. And we kept on meeting. And we kept on going. And I remember our preacher, he used to get attacked. And our first preacher, he'd get attacked. He'd say, you know, I got attacked in my mind. There's these great men of God, these great teachers. They're up there in the seminary. And people should just go to them. And then he said, he realized, no, I'm the angel of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. I've got the message. And I'm so glad I kept coming when he preached, and God gave me what I needed through the preacher to build. And I'm still building because of that. I'm still building because of that. And so build your life and build it on a solid foundation. Build it on Bible teaching and Bible preaching from the man of God in your local church. And be there with your Bible, my friend. And God will bless you and strengthen you. So you should build because of your problems. You should build also because of your preacher's preaching. And by the way, don't let the devil get you offended. Right, Brother Joe? The Bible says in Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they that love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. You say, well, something the preacher said offended me. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That means to stumble them so that they quit and leave the work of God. I've had people quit and leave the work of God. They didn't like something happened here. They left and they went all over and they came back and said, Pastor, I've not been able to find a place like this. I'm coming back here. I'm coming back where I should be. And you know what? That is important. And a lot of times I find out people that don't build their life and their family on the preacher's preaching in their church. You know why they don't do it? I'll tell you. Jeremiah 43, 1 and 2. Here's what it says. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah, he was the preacher of the day, made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent them to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah. By the way, I talk about this. When you're preaching, Brother Bruce Bradley, and you're preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, do you know what you get when you're preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit? You get what's called blowback. You know what blowback is? Blowback is when people talk back to you. I didn't like that. I remember I had a bunch of deacons that got together when I started preaching here, and they had a meeting. They said, we don't like this. This and that and the other thing. We're having a meeting about it. I said, go ahead and meet, but I'm still going to preach. You can meet all you want, but I'm going to preach what the Lord tells me. Last I checked out, the qualification of a deacon is not to tell the pastor what to preach. I don't see that in the book of Acts. Remember that, Brother Joe? No. So I'm just saying that it says that Azariah spake and Johanan spake, and all the proud men saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, go not unto Egypt. Listen, who are these men to tell the man of God what God told him? Right. You see, you need to find out what God told you in this book. And you need to do it and to preach it. And too many preachers are tiptoeing through the tithers. Too many preachers are putting their finger up to the wind to find out which way the wind. And that's the way a lot of politicians are too. They're just trying to be accepted. And I'm just saying to you, if we're going to build America, if we're going to build a church, if we're going to build a family, if you're going to build a marriage, you're going to build your life, you got to build it on solid foundations. You should build because of the problems that we've got. You should build because of your preacher's preaching. And lastly, you should build because of your personal persuasion. Notice verse 18. Let's read verse 18. It says, then I told them, that's Nehemiah, of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their good hand for this work. You know what? When I left Florida, God's hand was upon me to come back here to Scranton, and he helped me. Do you know what? I left a cushy job and everything, but God went before me and helped me to go back to Scranton because I stepped out in faith. What'd you say, Diane? Step out in faith and God will do something great or something like that. You need to step out. You need to step out. And I stepped out and we went. And that's what Nehemiah did. And you remember what happened? He thought the king would kill him because he was saying he was sad because of Jerusalem. He thought the king would say, okay, off with your head. You can't be sad in my presence. But the king said, what do you want? And Nehemiah just prayed, real quick prayer. He said, Lord, help me to know what to say. And God gave him what to say. And he told him he needed wood, he needed money, and he needed this, he needed that. And the king gave him whatever he needed to get the work done. Hey, you know what I found out? If you do your will, you have to foot the bill. But if you're doing God's will, he'll pay the bill. He'll pay the bill if you're not living for yourself. And Nehemiah got what he needed. And you know what? When we came back here, I said, you know, I got a church. I want to pastor a church. It's got a lot of needs. We got a lot of work to do. But I got a family. I got to provide food for the family. How are we going to do it? And we got back here, and I used to work a job before I left and went to Florida up at Friendship House. And they told me, hey, we found out in our books we owe you money. And they, without me working there, sent me a check every week to pay me money. I had my own father that had some money, and he sent us money every month later on to help us. God was always helping us because we're doing his work. And the man of God, we see the problems and we point out the problems and point out the challenges. We need men of God that can give us the encouragement so that you might be, listen to me, you might be personally persuaded to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God too. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to follow the example of the man of God. The Bible says you're to imitate the faith of your leaders. Not just imitate your leaders, but imitate their faith in God. And so when that was happening and Nehemiah shared that, here's what the people responded. I'll read it in verse 18. And they said, that's the people, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. You see, they were personally persuaded, I am going to do my part. Do you know what? God's work is teamwork. Everybody has their part. And the first thing is to build your life on the right foundation. You say, Pastor, what's that foundation I need to build my life on to be part of God's work? Well, the Bible says that foundation has already been laid. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Savior who died to pay for our place in God's family, to pay for our sins, save us from hell, and let us be in God's family. And he paid the price when he hung on that cross and said, it's finished. And they put him in the grave. They thought they got rid of him, but no, because he finished the great work of our salvation. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God, and the people preached him, and people put their faith in him. Listen, if you're going to have the right foundation, it better not be Scranton Revival Baptist Church. It better not be Pastor Randy Bloom. It better not be a president. It's Jesus Christ and your personal relationship to him. Jesus will say to some people, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. Well, you could say you knew my dad and mom. They were great leaders in the church. You knew my Christian school. I went there. But Jesus said, unfortunately, I was never in your heart. You just did that because of your parents. You just did that because that's where you were raised. You just did that. And as soon, by the way, I found out when kids get away from their school, when they go through their college and they get away from their college, then you really know if Jesus is in their heart. You know. as a parent. By their what? You shall know them. Fruit. Yeah, by their fruit you shall know them. And I found out that, so make sure now that Jesus Christ is in your heart. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians. Examine yourself. If Christ is in you, He is the one foundation that we build our lives upon. Have you trusted Him? Do you have a personal relationship to Him? If you do, my beloved, He will lead you and guide you every day. But secondly, let us, He says, rise up and build. Let us do it. When you do it, there's going to be opposition. And you have opposition here from a guy named Sanballat, another guy named Tobiah, and they will give you trouble. Listen, if you try to help the man of God, you're going to have trouble. This guy is my youth pastor. His wife is our secretary. They know the trouble that you're going to see if you work with the man of God. You know it. And I've had people, when the going got tough, the weak got going away. They ran away. You will be tested to see if you are willing to stay with the work of God. You need a personal persuasion. Listen to me, that I have made a decision because of God, and I am working with the man of God. I think of King Saul, when he was called to be a king and anointed by God. The Bible said a band of men got around him whose hearts the Lord had touched. I've had people get around me, kind of like Donald Trump when he first became president. All they were after was to stab him in the back. But I've had people get around me that they want to help in doing the work, and they're persuaded that they're doing it for God. That's what we need. David had mighty men around him that were persuaded that David was God's man, and they were going to stay because of God. Let me just say this. You have some reasons right here to build in Nehemiah 2. You should build because of the problems that you face. You should build because of your preacher's preaching, and you should build because of your own personal persuasion that I am accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm putting on the uniform by getting baptized. I'm going to join the church because you've got to join the church, and I am going to do my part to get others saved and to do the work of God. I'm going to give my tithes and my offerings and do my part. May God help you to do that today. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.